I shared with Pastor yesterday a thought that's always on my heart on this day. Easter's always been odd to me. It's a wonderful day, of course. But to me, it's always carried this certain heaviness because of the price God had to pay for my sin. Oh, but the joy and the celebration and the rejoicing. He didn't stay in that grave. He rose again the third day. You notice the songs today? Little Miss Fox got us started this morning when she sang, "Hallelujah, I'm Adopted." I love that song. Our kids learned it growing up, and she did a beautiful job. And then you just heard the choir sing, "Calvary Says I Love You." Have you ever wondered if you're loved? That's a human question that all of us ask at one time or another. Calvary says you are, in ways that are impossible for us to even imagine. His blood says, "I love you." Think about it. You add up all of the love that any mother had for her child, and that love is inseparable and immense. You add up every love that every father had for their child, every child had for their parents. You add up all the love that every husband ever had for a wife, or every wife ever had for a husband. You add up all the love that you ever had for grandparents and loved ones, and on the list could go. Add up all of that love and put it together. It does not compare to the love God has for me and you. Doesn't Calvary prove that? I love the song. I won't sing it for you. I want the Lord to direct my heart this morning. And you pray for me because I'm still trying to decide exactly what to do. I know what He wants me to preach, but I know not how. I won't sing the song, but I love the song because it speaks of this day and the price that was paid. And it says, "In vain man tried to enter heaven, but a door could not be found. Heaven's walls were great and high, all inside were safe and sound. But God, who so loved mankind, who He had made and given breath, knew that to redeem them, the price to pay was death. No search was made to find someone who would take this dreadful chore. There was only one, God's only Son, that could be heaven's only door. The angels knew once He was gone that a song could not be sung. But a door to heaven is of no use unless on earth it's hung. The door was hung at Calvary. It's standing open wide. Eternal life is waiting for all who step inside. And what has become earth's greatest gain was heaven's greatest loss. Heaven's door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on the cross. The greatest event in the history of all the universe is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything that the Bible speaks of from Genesis to Revelation either points forward in the Old Testament or backward in the day and age in which you and I lived 2,000 years ago and for all eternity to the cross that made it all possible. And that empty tomb, which means I don't pray to a dead God. I pray to a living Savior. We sang it a minute ago. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, I want to bring the message that I believe God has given for this special occasion. Aren't you glad when they went to that tomb? I love that question, and I've preached the message before. I'm sure Pastor has, other men in here. When they went, looked into that empty tomb, and they said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" He's not here. I love that book in Acts, or that verse in Acts. I believe Brother Nick quoted it this morning. in his message at the sunrise service. What a wonderful message, Brother Nick. And I believe he quoted the verse out of Acts 2:24, one of my favorite in all the Bible. It was impossible that he should be withholden by death. It wasn't possible. Death could not hold him. It was impossible. You ask me how I know someday I'm going to live again? Because my Savior lives. Boy, isn't Easter wonderful? I can think of no greater celebration than in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God pointed me to something today that I pray will be both fitting for the day and an encouragement to your heart as it's encouraged mine in Ephesians chapter number 3. If you have that and you're able, I'd ask you to honor the reading of God's Word by standing as we read the verses together. We're going to begin in verse 1. We'll read several verses. I'll not read the entire chapter, but we'll read several verses. I'll make a prayer and then have you seated. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." That's good news. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." I want to take our text in verse number 11. The Bible says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. With the Lord's help, I want to preach this morning on the subject, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's eternal purpose. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for the perfection of your word. Lord, your word is perfect and holy. There are no errors in it. You said, Lord, that your word is as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, and you preserved them for them, Lord, for this generation and forever. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your word, we can depend upon it. We pray, Lord, that your word is settled in heaven, and that we can read your word and know that the truth that existed when you wrote this word some 2,000 years ago is still truth today. Your truth does not change. And we thank you for that. We can depend upon your word. Now, Lord, as we preach on your eternal purpose, help us to understand that what took place at Calvary didn't just happen. Lord, there's a reason for it. Lord, Calvary wasn't something, a plan B that you had to make because plan A didn't work out. Lord, it was your eternal purpose. And you live today to let us know that that purpose still exists and can be possible in the life of every man and woman in this room today under the sound of my voice. Please help us, Holy Spirit. Please help me, Lord. I need you, and I confess I cannot do what needs to be done without you. So please take over. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, and may Christ Jesus alone be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, church. He said, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, I believe it's down about the 18th verse somewhere in there, that known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. That's what the Bible says. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God has always known exactly what He was going to do and how He was going to do it. And as surprised and as shocked as you and I are at the things that we see going on around us in 2024, God's not shocked at all. He knows exactly what's going to happen, exactly when, and He's as in much control now as He was the day He spoke creation into existence. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. You say, Brother Ferris, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes. Now, I want you to keep your finger in Ephesians, but we are going to look at a number of other scriptures. I want you to see some things today, but let me just set up the message this way. And looking at the book of Ephesians, and I highly recommend you read its 6 short chapters over and over and over again. Some of you that may have never shouted in your life, if you'll read that enough times, I promise you the pastor will have to put restraints on you to keep you from running around the building. It is a wonderful book to the Christian. In chapter 1, we find God's eternal purpose in the purpose in the person of Jesus Christ. I'll repeat this again later in the message on purpose, but may I say to you, God's purpose has always been Jesus Christ. This book is about one person, Jesus Christ. From Genesis through Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about prophecy? The Bible says in the book of the Revelation that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Prophecy is not about a time or a date or all of the wild events that are going to take place. It's about one person, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may I say to you, Calvary is not about even a cross. It's a symbol that we use, and thank God for that symbol. Like that symbol over there is the symbol of the United States of America, our flag, amen? But we don't worship the cross as such, amen? We worship the man who hung on that cross, who died on that cross, who was buried, and who rose again the third day, Jesus Christ. Everything in this book is about Jesus Christ. Everything about Easter is to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that pretty clear? It really is easy. It's not any more complicated than that. Now, in chapter number 1 of Ephesians, and we'll see this, we see God's eternal purpose in His Son, Jesus Christ. Go with me to chapter 1 real quick, over a page or two, and verse 17. Watch this, and then we're going to go to the book of John. So keep your Bible handy. We're going to flip around a little bit. Ephesians 1, verse 17, look at this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened. You see, God wants you to know Him, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in whom? In Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And we could go on and read more, but I just want you to see the point there that in chapter number 1, we find God's eternal purpose is in one person, the person of Jesus Christ. I call it this. I call it ye in me. Now, hold that thought and go with me now to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter number 14. Ye in me. His purpose is Jesus Christ. John chapter number 14. Look at it with me now. John chapter number 14, and we'll begin in verse 19. Just a couple of verses here. Yet a little while, Jesus said, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Isn't that good news? Ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and there it is, and ye in me. You see that? And I in you. And so in chapter number 1 of Ephesians, we find God's eternal purpose is in a person, Jesus Christ. Now follow along with me now. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, go back to Ephesians again and hold your finger in John 14 and 15. We'll come back right there in just a second. In Ephesians chapter 2, we find God's eternal purpose in our position in Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we find His eternal person in a purpose in the person of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, we find God's eternal purpose in our position that we have if you're saved and born again in Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 was ye and me. Chapter 2 is I and you. Look at it with me in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at a few verses here. Look at verse 4. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. Don't you love that? For His great love wherewith He loved us. You're right, choir. Calvary says, I love you. Amen. Wherewith His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins,
hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, I and you, remember that, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now skip with me down to verse 18. This will make a Presbyterian get up and run around the room right here. Look at this. Verse 18. For through him, we're still talking about Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Read on down with me there a couple more verses. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He says back there again in verse 18, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Ye and me in chapter 1, I and you, Jesus Christ in you in chapter 2. I love it. We have access to the Father only because of Jesus Christ. I love that song and I love to sing it often. I have access to the throne room since I've been born again. I don't have to beg for entrance. He says, you're welcome. Just come on in. And my soul lags for nothing. And that makes me shout and sing. I have access to the throne room. I'm a child of the King. God's eternal purpose was for you to be in position with him. Him and you and him. Look with me now at John chapter 15. Now bear with me because I'm going somewhere. John chapter 15. God's eternal purpose. God had a plan for us before the foundation of the world. We're going to see that in just a minute. John chapter 15, look at it, verse 4 and 5. Jesus said, abide in me. That means stay there. You see that? Abide in me and I in you. It was ye and me in chapter 1. Now it's I and you in chapter 2. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do how much? That's what I thought he said. Nothing. Amen? So in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we see ye and me, us in Christ Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, we see God's eternal purpose in the position we have in Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 3, look at it with me, back to Ephesians. We're done in John. You can go back to Ephesians with me now. Now look at this. We find God's eternal purpose in the possession we have in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 3, the possession that we have in Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 3. Paul said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, that the Gentiles, that's you and I in this room today, if you're not a Jew, amen, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise, how? In Christ, by the gospel. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God had this all planned out from the beginning. He had our possession in Jesus Christ planned out from the beginning. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I want you to notice he says something here, and I don't want to spend much time on this, but I want you to see it. You have to take this home and study it out for yourself. It'll make you shout, amen? But I want you to notice that the mystery was revealed. You see that again in verse number 3. He said, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And in verse 4, he said, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see that? In verse number 9, look at it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Did you know that word mystery cannot be found in the Old Testament? It's not in the Old Testament. You can't find it. It's used 27 times in the Bible. All 27 in the New Testament, one for each book of the New Testament. That word mystery. You see, in the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle and all of those laws and everything, all of it was a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen? In the tabernacle, you had the bread, the table of showbread on the north end of the tabernacle. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. I am the bread which came down from heaven.
If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Hey, listen, on the south side of that tabernacle was the golden candlestick. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, for he is the light of the world. Everything in that tabernacle was a picture of God's eternal, purposely planned picture of Jesus Christ. But it was a mystery.
I've heard pastors say it several times from this pulpit. Oftentimes Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets had no idea what they were writing about when they prophesied of the Savior God. Had no idea. But God said, write it, so they did. Amen?
And so it was a mystery. But they didn't know it was even a mystery, so the word's not found in the Old Testament. But I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 15. I saw this, and I had a shouting time. Amen? Romans chapter 15. Watch it now. Now, I'm just setting this up. Message is the good part. Romans chapter 15. Go with me now. Next to the last chapter in Romans, 15. We saw in our text in Ephesians 3, three times, just in those few short verses, the mystery revealed of God's eternal purpose and plan. Romans chapter 15, here it is. Here we find what they never knew in the Old Testament. They had pictures of it, but it was never revealed to them like it's been revealed to you and I, the Gentiles, in these New Testament day and age. Look at verse number 25. Watch this. Romans 15. I'm sorry, 16. Last chapter. Verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing today. No sense in preaching anything else. Preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. But watch verse 26. Hallelujah. But now is made manifest. That word manifest means clear, easy to be understood. It's not a mystery any longer, amen? But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You know why the gospel is preached here every Sunday? And churches like it across the world? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and other times throughout the week, all over the world? That the mystery of Jesus Christ might be made known to all nations. That's why. Now, back to Ephesians 3, and we're going to get to the meat of the message here. God said in verse number 11 in our text, according to the eternal purpose. That word eternal is not the same word as everlasting. Everlasting means from this point on, forever and ever, and that's good, amen? But eternal means no beginning and no end. And God is eternal. God's plan and purpose, long before time began, long before God spoke the first blade of grass into existence, God had a purpose and a plan. Do you see that? And I want to preach that to you this morning. Three quick points. God had a plan. And I want to say it this way. God has a plan. Had was past tense. God's plan before the foundation of the world still exists on March the 31st, 2024. The question is, have you acted upon God's plan in your heart and in your life? We'll give you an opportunity in a little bit. God has a plan. Before time and creation, before Adam sinned the first sin, amen? Before God spoke the universe into existence, God had a purpose and a plan, an eternal purpose, which He purposed through who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything that God planned revolves around Jesus Christ. And everything that God planned revolved around Jesus Christ doing what man needed it for Him to do. Go to the cross, pay our sin debt, and rise again the third day. Take that blood to the heavenly mercy seat I'm about to have a Pentecostal spell. Sprinkle that on the heavenly mercy seat. God looked down and said, my judgment is satisfied. And now all who believe, I said all who believe, I said all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved by His grace. How do you like Easter? I love it. It's everything to me. My eternity hinged upon what Jesus Christ did. And God planned it long before He spoke creation into existence. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 1. We having fun yet? 1 Peter chapter 1. Before time and creation, God looked ahead to Calvary. Isn't that good news? 1 Peter chapter 1. Look down with me at verse number 18, would you please? 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, look at this, was foreordained when? Before the foundation of the world, but was, there's that word manifest again, made clear to you, made easy to understand to you, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's good news. Listen to me. Before there ever was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before Adam ever partook of the fruit that he was not supposed to partake of, and Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and God had to sacrifice an animal to cover their sin, before any of that ever took place, God foreordained Jesus Christ to come to this earth and die on an old rugged cross and shed His blood so that you and I can have our sins paid for.
Amen.
When they drove those nails into His hand, brother, those are supposed to be my nails. I deserve those. And in His feet, and that crown of thorns that they platted upon His head and crushed my Savior's skull, that's supposed to be mine. That's supposed to be my sin. But Jesus Christ said, I love you. I'm going to buy you back and pay for my sin with His own blood. And God eternally purposed that long before you ever breathe your first breath.
Amen.
I think that's worth a little bit of a hallelujah.
Amen.
Pardon me for saying so. Some of you are going to find out why I get excited here in a minute, and this place is going to go nuts. I love it. Before God spoke the first star into existence, God had a plan for your salvation. Before God spoke the oceans and the mountains into existence, God had an eternal purpose for you in mind. Brother, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt invaluable before? Brother, you have no greater value than the value you have to God Almighty. He proved that by sending His Son and His eternal purpose fulfilled on Resurrection Day. Oh, happy Easter indeed. God has a plan. Devil didn't catch God flat-footed, Brother John, when Eve sinned in the garden. God didn't say, uh-oh, they've sinned. Now what do I do? No. God already had it planned out before Eve partook of the fruit. I just think this is all wonderful. It was His eternal purpose to die on the cross and rise again the third day. I want you to go with me to a verse of Scripture and follow the line of thinking here. Keep your finger again in Ephesians. Go with me to Genesis chapter 22. And you know that Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham to sacrifice His son, His only son. You say, well, I thought Ishmael. No, His only son. Think about that. God didn't promise him Ishmael. He promised him Isaac through Sarah. Now, Abraham had an obedience problem there for a minute, but God corrected it. Amen. Got everything straightened out. And the mess you're seeing in the Middle East, thank you very much, Abraham, is because he couldn't control himself. Are you with me now? It's pretty simple. God had a plan. In Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 7. They're up there on the hill, and Abraham goes up there, and they've got the wood and the fire. And remember, Isaac's 14 years old. Abraham was 99 when he was born. You do the math. He's an old dude. If I can use the modern vernacular, he's an old dude. Isaac could have whipped his dad. But just like our lamb gave up the ghost, Brother Nick, you mentioned that this morning. Isaac was willing to lay down his life in obedience to his dad. What a picture. Now it says here in verse 7 that Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And so there's the question. God had an eternal purpose. And we know that, first of all, He had a plan. And that plan was to send a lamb. And Isaac asks a very good question here this morning that I could well ask you. Where's the lamb today? Do you know the lamb? Where is he? Is he in your heart?
If not, get that corrected before you leave. Where's the lamb? And I want you to notice Abraham said, God will provide himself. It does not say God will provide for himself. Did you see that? God did not need to provide a lamb for himself. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He needed no provision. It does not say God provided a lamb for himself. He said God will provide himself because Jesus Christ is God. Amen. And he provided himself according to God's eternal purpose on Calvary to pay your sin debt and mine. Well, God didn't need salvation. It's man that's in trouble. You and I were born into sin. And that's why God purposed to buy us back. Aren't you glad of that? Well, go back with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll turn another place in just a minute. God had a plan. And his plan was a lamb. He cursed that serpent in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Of course, he cursed the ground. During the millennial reign, the serpent, or the snake as we call it, is the only animal that will still be under the curse. He'll still crawl on his belly. Amen. God cursed him. He said, thou, speaking to Satan, shalt bruise his heel. Talking about Jesus Christ in verse 15. And he did that on the cross. Satan thought he won the war. But it's no secret how death was conquered. The key was in the door. And the door is Jesus Christ. I am the door. Are you with me? God had a plan. Isn't that good news?
Yes,
God. Thou shalt bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And how do you kill a snake? You cut his head off. Listen, brother, on February the 12th, listen, I was a dead man. February the 12th, 1984, when I walked into the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Swansboro, North Carolina. Oh, I was alive. I was wearing a Marine Corps uniform. I was as alive physically as one could be, but I was dead in trespasses and sins. Brother Nick brought it up in this morning's message, amen? But praise God, you who were dead hath he quickened. You who were dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened and made nigh by his own blood. Isn't that good news? God had a plan. It was an eternal plan. Eternally purposed. Purposed through his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as we read in our text verse. Look with me again. God's plan is revealed and the mystery is known. We read verses 3 through 6 already. I want you to look at verses 9 through 11. And verse Ephesians 3 back in our text. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by who? Did you know Jesus Christ created all things and by him all things consist? That's what Colossians chapter 1 says. By him all things consist. By Jesus Christ, your marriage consists. Smile at me. Some of you, I'm losing you. By Jesus Christ, this church consists. Amen. If Pastor could say amen, he would right now. Amen. By Jesus, listen, you don't do anything without Jesus Christ. We just read in John 15, without me, ye can do how much? Nothing. That was his eternal purpose. Look with me in verse 10. To the intent, why did he reveal these things in Jesus Christ that had been hidden God? Verse 10 tells you, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There is no mystical universal church. God called out the local assembly in Bridgeport, West Virginia. It's the Grace Baptist Church. That's what he's talking about, the church. There's no universal church. There's no mystical church here. It's the local called out assembly. Amen? And so he called that out to make known to the world and gave us a mission. Missions conference is coming up in a month. To the mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make known the mystery that was one day revealed to you. Aren't you glad somebody preached the gospel to you one day? That was God's eternal purpose for you to hear that. It was God's eternal purpose for me on February the 12th, 1984, to walk in the Emmanuel Baptist Church and watch Pastor Steve Wakefield work up a sweat and run around the building about five times. And I thought, what is the matter with this guy? And who turned his clock too tight? Didn't take me long to realize it wasn't Steve Wakefield that was convicting me. It was the Holy Spirit of God. For it's the Spirit of God that reproves us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I found out God's eternal purpose for my life that day was to trust Him. Aren't you glad you did? If you're here today and you haven't, you need to. Because you're living in a world that's about to take you down a path you will not believe. You better have the Savior. We're going to hang on to that one for just a minute. Number one, God had a plan. Aren't you glad that nothing that's going on in this world today is not according to God's plan? God's not sitting in heaven saying, what am I going to do with this mess now? I know what I'd do. I'd nuke the whole thing. Amen? But I'm glad God has mercy and grace. And if you're asking the question, what is God waiting for? The answer just may be one of your loved ones or mine. He's waiting for that last one to get saved. And that could be your loved one or mine. And if it's His long-suffering that's causing Him not to come back yet, praise be to God. I'm glad He waited till February the 12th, 1984, because if He'd have come back on the 11th, I'd be in hell today. God's eternal purpose was fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. God has a plan. Number two, God has a provision. This is easy. In Genesis chapter 22, we just read it. You don't have to go back there. Abraham said God will provide Himself a lamb, and He did. He didn't send second stringer. The Bible says that the Word of God in John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus Christ was born in that stable in Bethlehem, you know who lay in that hay? That was God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And He told Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. God not only had a plan, but He had a purpose. His plan was Jesus Christ. His purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost and to buy man back. Pretty simple. Word of God really is simple. We complicate it a lot, but it really is simple. Simple fact is you and I were born into sin. And the devil right now, his purpose, he don't care if you go to church. He don't care if you tithe. He don't care if you sing in the choir. He don't care if you teach Sunday school. He don't care if you just whatever you do, just don't believe Jesus Christ. Because in doing so, you defeat his purpose for you, which is your destruction. You can't buy salvation. Your church attendance doesn't get you salvation. Being in a church doesn't save you and make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you an F-150 pickup truck. Amen. I'm not being mean-spirited today. I'm saying God had a purpose. I've heard people say, well, surely a merciful God would not send anybody to hell. You're exactly right. He doesn't. God never sent anybody to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? You have to step over God's grace. And you have to step over God's eternal purpose and purposely reject Jesus Christ to send yourself to hell. God doesn't send you there. You choose hell by rejecting His free gift. I think that's more than reasonable when you consider the cost that He paid. Amen? He has a provision. In John chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there, but you know what happened. John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. And the lamb, back in Genesis 22 that we read about, remember Isaac said, Daddy, where's the lamb? Father, where's the lamb? John saw him in John chapter 1. John the Baptist was baptized in the Jordan River. The Bible says he looked up and he saw it. And he pointed his finger and said something that had never been said in the history of the universe. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Isaac said, where's the lamb? John said, I found him. He said, I'm about to baptize him. Amen? Go back 700 years earlier to a prophet named Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke of God's eternal purpose and His plan and His Son Jesus Christ. When he said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, Jesus Christ. And with His stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we turned everyone to His own way,
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. The Bible says, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb. Brother Dick. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. 700 years before he went to the cross, Isaiah prophesied of my Savior. Because God had a plan. And his purpose was Jesus Christ, his Son. What is Easter? God's eternal purpose being manifested. Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed his blood for everyone under the sound of my voice. That blood pays for your sin. Why do you want to pay for something that's already paid for? I don't know. Amen? I don't know why you want. None of us would do that. Somebody come over here and paint your house, maybe paint your house off. You wouldn't say, well, I think I'll just pay for it again. I'm just a knucklehead like that. Nobody in this room would do that. So why would you want to be paid for sin that's already been paid for? By blood that's way better than yours and mine. The spotless blood of the Lamb would burn. Before the foundation of the world, God purposed it to be so. So that you can spend eternity with him. I think we got a pretty good end of the deal, Brother Jeff.
Okay.
I think we got a pretty good end of the deal there. He had a plan and he had a purpose. His son, Jesus Christ. That was his provision. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I love that old song, in times like these you need a Savior. In times like these you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And this rock is Jesus, God's eternal purpose. The last verse says, I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I love it today. God has a plan and he had a provision. He said in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Jesus Christ's blood. He entered in once into the holy place. Why? That we may obtain eternal redemption. That's why he did it. That was his plan and that was his provision. I'm glad God made a plan and didn't leave out the provision. Amen? God didn't say, I'm going to build you a house. It's up to you to go get your lumber. No, he provided the lumber and all. Amen? He provided everything you and I need for salvation in his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more you need to be saved by God's grace than to trust in the shed blood of the Lamb, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad God didn't put a down payment, Brother McCray, on my salvation. Aren't you glad? He paid it in full, brother. God didn't say, I'm gonna go this far and put a down payment on your salvation, but you're going to have to keep the sacraments, or you're going to have to do some kind of penance, or you're going to have to do some kind of works. No, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You can't tell I'm a little happy about that.
Amen. How about you? Are you glad for God's eternal purpose today? Which he purposed according to Christ Jesus our Lord. Now lastly, God had a plan. He had a provision, which means he's worthy of our praise. Isaac said, where's the lamb? John said, I see. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5. Last verse I'll have you turn to. Revelation chapter 5. I didn't say I was closing. I just said that's the last verse I'll have you turn to. Some of you are getting awfully excited. Revelation chapter 5. Where's the lamb, Isaac said. God's got a plan, Isaac. He'll provide himself a lamb, Papa Abraham said. And he did. And look where he is now. Revelation chapter number 5. Watch this. Go with me to verse 11. And I beheld. Notice that's past tense. I've mentioned that from this pulpit before. I'm not going to go there again, but over 600 past tense references in a book that's about the future. That ought to make you shout. And I beheld, verse 11, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I know enough to know this. That's a pretty good sized crowd right there. Amen? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. That's a whole bunch of folk. And look what they're doing. If you're looking for heaven to be this quiet, peaceful, quiet place where there's no noise, that's the wrong place. It's going to be noisy up in there. Look at verse number 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the sea, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard us." Do you see who's praising God? It's not just the millions that are in heaven. It's all the creatures in the earth, under the earth, in heaven. Everything that's everywhere is giving praise and glory to the Lamb because He's worthy. "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." I'm glad I got something to brag about today. And it's not Mike Ferris. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ." Ain't a thing I got to brag about. I just came here today to brag about Jesus. Can I do that? Because He's the only one that's worthy of bragging about. I'm glad we got something to sing about today. And I'm glad these songs that we heard sung today all day long, the congregational hymns, listen, that He's risen again, and the great choir singing that we heard about had me about ready to lose my mind, amen? And Miss Amanda singing this morning, and all the great, I'm glad we got something to sing about, amen? Listen, I like church services okay, but I'd a whole lot rather have worship services. Amen. You with me? I'm tired of dead churches. My wife and I can tell you, going across the country, we've been to some churches where we left that place and so well. Wave, because it's probably going to be the last time we had this year. Can I tell you, God's purpose from the beginning of time was that we worship Him and praise Him. Read the Psalms and tell me that that's not why we were made. We're made to give Him. We're not made to live for ourselves. We're made to live for Him and give Him praise and glory and honor and power. Why? Because God had an eternal purpose. Before eternity began, He had a plan. He had a purpose, His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's risen again. And I don't know about you, but I think He's worthy of my praise today. Amen. So what about the cares of this life? It gets hard sometimes, don't it? You say, what about the trials and tribulations of this life? No harder for me than they are for you, and no harder, easier for you than they are for me. Amen? Man that is born in the trouble of the law, born a woman, I'll say it right here in just a minute. Man who's born of it's easy for me to say. Man who's born of woman is a few days before the trouble. Get out of here, devil. You with me? Amen. Man is born in the trouble just as sure as the sparks fly upward, Job said. Amen? All of us in here, every time I look in your eyeballs, we might smile at one another, joke at one another, have a good time with one another, but I know I'm looking at somebody that's carrying a burden. Maybe so heavy you would never even tell me about. Maybe not even your pastor. But I know this. I know God had a purpose for your life just like He did mine. And that purpose was fulfilled and manifested in the mystery revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid it all. And to prove it, walked out of that tomb on the third day. I love it. I'm so glad I'm not a Buddhist. Wouldn't make it very good when I'd have to shake my head off. Buddha's still on the ground. Don't disrespect me. But he's still in great clothes. Muhammad's still in great clothes. Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. Amen. Why? Because God had an eternal purpose. Eternal. Which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you look at verse 12, the last verse of that text we read in Ephesians chapter 3. In whom? Who's the in whom? In Jesus Christ. In whom? We're still talking about God's purpose and God's plan and God's provision, right? In whom we have boldness
and access with confidence by faith in Him. That is bad. So that you and I can now, I didn't say it irreverently, but I said boldly, go before you. You know why I can go boldly to my Father? It's not because of a thing Mike Ferris has ever said or done. You could add all of it up and burn it up right here on the carpet and put the mat out to a coffee cup. So why praise and shout like you, Mike Ferris? Two reasons. I need two, I'll quit. Number one, what can I say? Because of what He had to do for me. It's unimaginable. The pain and the agony that my Savior had to suffer because of me and my wickedness and my wretchedness and the sins of all the world. That's why I love Him. And number two, because of who He is. He's wonderful. Can I recommend to you to work this morning, church? His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And He's full of mercy and grace. And He'll take that burden that you carry, and He'll wipe it away with the power of His blood. He'll cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness, so that one day you'll step into heaven and you'll say, so this was God's purpose. Wow. So my Father all said in that count. Wow. If I said, Dad, I still got your boat down here, you want to go fishing? He'd say, not hardly. Wow. What do you see him, Dad? God's eternal purpose. And His Son's right here. I want to see Jesus, don't you? The only way you get to see is to trust in His preordained, before He ever created the first blade of grass, purpose to send His Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to pay your sin debt in full. And just to make sure all debts were remitted, He rose again. Bank account's clear now. And you wonder why I love Him. Christian friend that here today, you know you're saved by God's grace. Easter Sunday's not just some holiday where we give each other chocolates. I'm not even calling stuff. I'm just saying, that's not what it is. I'll tell you what it's about. God had an eternal purpose. And He had you in mind before the foundation of the world. You wouldn't be here otherwise. What's His purpose, Brother Ferris? That you can spend eternity with Him because He longs to have fellowship with you. And the only way you can have that access is through His eternal provision, His Son, Jesus Christ. Will you trust Him today? Christian friend, why don't you get serious with God? And why don't you say, God, from this point on, I want to live the purpose that You've given me to live on this earth. And that's to tell others about the mystery of Jesus Christ and how He revealed His love for us. Now, the Lord does say, I love you. Every drop of blood says, I love you. What more could God do to prove that He loves you? Heavenly Father, I love you.
There are people in this room that I know love.